So we are attempting to do quite a lot in today's service. We are observing the Feast of the Holy Cross, which was technically on Thursday of last week, and so we're transferring it forward. We are also commemorating St. Helen, our patron saint, whose feast day actually falls in either August or May, depending on which tradition you follow, but is associated with the Holy Cross. More on that in a moment. And so is well remembered today. And third, we are celebrating this community of St. Helen's Church and the launch of the new year. Because let's be honest, no matter how long it's been since the academic calendar mattered to you, there's something about September that is just always the new year. So that's rather a lot to fit into one sermon, especially since the cross does not usually bring the New Year celebration vibes to the party. So I'm going to see what I can do about that, and then we're going to try something that may or may not, I don't know, be a new thing for you. The balance of this sermon will be preached by you in conversation with one another rather than by me. So get ready. But first things first. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The counterintuitive, sort of upside-down logic of the cross lies at the very heart of our faith. This tangible sign that our human approach to power is not God's approach to power. Time and again, Jesus revealed that power is located in service, in self-giving, in taking the side of the most vulnerable and the most rejected, not the side of the victorious. And the cross was a symbol of empire and domination. It was a tool used by the victorious to keep the vulnerable and the rejected in line. And yet, the cross, an instrument of domination, could not contain the true power of God. Jesus quite simply broke the cross. He destroyed it as a signifier for human domination and recreated it into a signifier for human salvation. An instrument of death transformed into an instrument of life. Now, St. Helen is an interesting person to have a connection to the cross. She knew something of the vagaries of empire and the risks of getting close to people with a lot of power. She was the wife, or maybe just the consort, or maybe a concubine, or quite frankly, maybe a slave to one emperor who cast her aside for decades. She raised her son somewhere outside of the public eye. We don't really know too much about that. And then when her son rose to power as emperor, he brought her along with him, and she returned to the halls of power. And then when her son, Constantine, converted to Christianity, Helen embraced this new religion too. And I wonder what she did with this tension between empire and cross. We don't know. What we do know is that she wanted to see the place where Jesus taught. She wanted to see the place where Jesus was born. She wanted to see the place where Jesus died. For Helen, there was a need for that kind of tangible connection. And so She mustered her not inconsiderable resources and went on pilgrimage to the Holy Land, to Palestine. Still an occupied place when Helen went on her journeys. And Helen wanted those who followed her to be able to know where things had happened to. And so she built churches, some of which you can still see today. And she launched what we would now call archaeological digs, which makes her the patron saint of archaeologists, along with divorced people and those in unhappy marriages. So I'll just leave that to you. And on one of these digs, she uncovered something very precious. She uncovered three crosses. And now, being of a particular kind of scientific bent of mind for her day, Helen wanted to know which of these crosses was the real thing. Which of these crosses was the one that had broken the power of death? And so she conducted an experiment. She brought people who were sick, and she had them touch one cross. Nothing happened. She had them touch a second cross. Nothing happened. But when they touched the third cross, they were healed. An instrument of death revealed to be an instrument of life. Now, I'm not going to get into the metaphysics of all of that, the historicity of all of that. It's irrelevant. What really matters is that Helen found a way to shine a new light on these stories by locating it in space for pilgrims. And Helen's name, as I'm sure many of you already know because I learned it from St. Helen's website, means shining light. And this is where I'm going to attempt to bring all of these threads together. We shine lights so that we can see more clearly. That's just what they're for. So that we can see what is truly there. On the cross, Christ shined a light into what true power meant. In her life, Helen shined a light into what it meant to follow Jesus. Helen knew the true power of the cross, and she helps us to see it too. Not foolishness, but true wisdom. Not death, but true life. And here at St. Helen's Anglican Church, we are called both to serve as shining lights in our world, to point to the truth, to help people see God in new ways. And we are called to be alert to the new insights that are being revealed to us by God, working in the world and in the people around us. So as we begin our new year together, I would like us to take some time to get to know each other and to share the stories of the shining lights that have helped us see more clearly. These might be big, important people in your life, pillars of your faith and of who you are. But they might be people who played much smaller roles, people who would be surprised to learn you even remember them, but who offered you an insight, perhaps by accident, that continues to shape how you see God. I'm going to ask to flip to the next screen, because I'm not just going to leave you on your own with this. Here are some suggested guiding questions. Who has been a shining light in your life? How did they inspire you or help you to see something in a new way? And how does their light continue to shine in your life today? How have you brought that lesson forward into how you live today? Now, because As was pointed out to me in the car this morning, it's not fair to ask people to answer questions you don't answer yourself. I'm going to tell you my little story and then set you free with one another. My stole. So this stole, these are called Jerusalem crosses, and although you can certainly buy stoles with Jerusalem crosses that do not come from Jerusalem, this one comes from Jerusalem. And it comes to me from a very dear friend who went to Jerusalem and brought it back. His name was Donald Boisvert, the Reverend Dr. Donald Boisvert. Donald was a Roman Catholic man who, when he concluded as a young man that he was gay, gave up his dreams of the Catholic priesthood and instead pursued a career as a theologian and was a brilliant, brilliant theologian and a sociologist of religion, and one of those professors who has a true pastoral ministry, you know, one of those teachers whose doors were always open. And later in life, Donald found his way to the Anglican Church. And this is where our stories connect. I was in my final year of seminary, and Donald started seminary to become an Anglican priest. Donald was already a super impressive, well-published, renowned theologian and a professor. And suddenly he's in my classes as a student. And it was very intimidating, very intimidating. And then I graduated, he graduated, and he was assigned as assistant curate at the parish where I was the associate. So now I was also his boss? Not really, but kind of. And he had years of experience on me, years of experience, years of knowledge and expertise and capacity. And never once, either when we were students or when we were newly ordained together, did he ever make me feel that way. Donald entered every room, every encounter, as a student first, including the ones where he was teaching. Donald embodied that power of humility, able to set aside all of his everything in order to put it in service of learning, his learning and everyone's learning. He was a remarkable, remarkable man and a remarkable priest. And he died a few years ago, and this stole came to me. And so I was not sure who I would talk about today. And then I put my stole on and realized who I would talk about today. So that's my story of one of the shining lights in my life who taught me a valuable lesson about power and humility and the gift that that brings. And I try, you can tell me whether I succeed, I try to enter all of my spaces now as a learner first and see what happens when you enter a space that way. All right, now I had the advantage of knowing the questions in advance. You did not. Do not feel like you have to have a kind of polished speech with a lesson at the end. That was not fair of me. But you also don't have to come up here and do it for everybody. So I would invite you to gather up into little groups, maybe three, maybe four people, something like that. I know that might mean some of you have to move. Sorry, you can do it. Those of you who are joining us online, if you have somebody with you, have that conversation. If you're on your own, contemplate the questions. Consider writing them down and thinking about them and offering those thoughts to God. So we're going to spend a few minutes doing this. So go for it. I'm loving the laughing over there. That's great. Because in my experience, it's always better to leave you wanting more. I'm going to encourage you to continue these sharings after the service. I must say, I love almost nothing more than a lot of hubbub in a church. So that was beautiful. I hope that you at least partly shared the stories on topic, but regardless, it's good to be in conversation with each other. Let's just wrap this up with a little prayer, shall we? Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for all of the people who have been shining lights in our lives. The people who might know it and the people who might not know it. We thank you for the wisdom that they imparted to us, giving us eyes to see the truth of your power, which is always love, always service, always hope. And we ask that you would give us the grace to be shining lights for others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.